Legacy of Marcus Borg. These podcasts provide a concise summary of Borg's groundbreaking work, introduces a small and exciting way to see God, Jesus, the Bible, and the Christian language that we use. For those familiar with the writings of Marcus Borg, these podcasts will be a refresher. For others, we hope these podcasts will inspire you to investigate his books and lectures that are posted on the Marcus Borg Foundation website. Today's session, Reading the Bible Again for the First Time. Here is your writer and host, Brant Pope.
Hello, I am Brant Pope, and on behalf of the Marcus Borg Foundation, I would like to welcome you to the second in a series of seminars on the work and importance of this extraordinary theologian, teacher, and Christian. In our first podcast, we talked about the thousands of people around the world who have read the books of Marcus Borg, and how he has inspired a new understanding and appreciation for the Christian faith. Indeed, for many people, the work of Marcus Borg helped them re-engage their Christian faith journey. Seeing Christianity again through new eyes is the lasting legacy of this great man. In this session, I want to examine how Borg shows us a different and intriguing new way of understanding the religious significance of the Bible, and in particular, its significance for Christians. Marcus Borg provides us with a persuasive way of seeing and reading our sacred scriptures, a way that takes the Bible seriously without taking it literally. To be Christian is to be centered in the God of the Bible. The Bible, for us as Christians, is our sacred story. Virtually everything we know about Jesus is given to us by the Bible, and every Christian denomination reveres the profound richness of the Bible. Yet as we said in the first podcast, in the last two generations, more people have left the church because of the Bible than for any other reason. The Bible has been an impediment for countless others who reject a faith journey altogether because the Bible has ceased to be persuasive and meaningful for them. For Marcus Borg, these facts made it obvious that we need a new set of lenses through which to read and understand the Bible. Now, most people listening to this podcast are probably not among those who interpret the Bible literally, or feel the Bible as the infallible and inerrant Word of God. Certainly, most non-fundamentalist Christians have a great deal of difficulty believing that literally, the earth was created in 6 days and only a few thousand years ago, or that God sent a worldwide flood to destroy all life on earth, except Noah and his family and reproductive pairs of animals who were saved in an ark, or that God ordered the slaughter of every man, woman, and child of the Amalekites, or that God legitimized slavery and ordered the subordination of women, or that you shall not put on a garment made of two different materials. You should see what I'm wearing right now. I'm in trouble. Or that Jews are the children of the devil, or that God will send Jesus to come again to the earth to destroy almost all of humankind. It's easy for most thoughtful Christians to know with certainty that they cannot be biblical literalists. What is less clear is what they do see as the origin and authority of the Bible. After all, the Bible doesn't come with a guidebook that says, take this passage seriously, but not the next two. Or this book is far more authoritative than any other. In his great book, Reading the Bible Again for the First Time, Marcus Borg describes a new way of seeing and reading the Bible, and a different way that we might see the relationship between the Bible and God. Foundational to reading the Bible is a decision about how to see its origin. Does it come from God, or is it a human product? Many Christians, even those who do not interpret the Bible with strict literalism, understand Scripture to be inspired. The inspiration of Scripture is understood to mean that God guided the writing of the Bible, directly or indirectly, And so what Scripture says then ultimately comes from God. Marcus Borg offers an alternative to biblical literalism by providing an understanding of Scripture that is instead historical, metaphorical, and sacramental. For Marcus Borg, the Bible is an historical product. It is the work of two historical communities, ancient Israel and the early Christian movement. It is a human product, not a divine product. Now, this does not deny the reality of God. Rather, it sees the Bible as the response of these two ancient communities to God. As their response to encounters with the sacred, the Bible tells us how these ancient communities saw things. It is not God's witness to God, but their witness to God. The stories in the Bible provide the witness of God's involvement in their lives, their laws, their ethical teachings, their prayers, their hopes and dreams. It is not a set of absolute truths, but tells us how these communities saw things. The Bible tells us how our ancestors saw things, not how God sees things. When the Bible is seen this way, so many of the problems in Scripture that drive people away from a Christian faith journey largely disappear. The conflict between the Genesis creation stories and science vanishes. The laws of the Bible need not be understood as God's laws for all time, but as the laws and ethical teachings of these communities. The stories of God destroying Israel's enemies are Israel's way of telling its story. Just as the destruction of the enemies of Christ is what some early Christians hoped for. Again, this view of the Bible does not deny the reality of God or deny that the Bible is inspired by God. But it understands inspiration differently. Inspiration refers to the movement of the Spirit in the lives of the people who produce the Bible. The emphasis is not upon the words inspired by God, but on people moved by their experience of the sacred. This is tremendously important for how we see religious pluralism. It allows us to affirm the Bible as the response to God in our culture, and yet also recognizing that other enduring religious traditions as the response to the sacred in their particular cultural vocabulary. Often when I'm conducting workshops on Marcus Borg, people will come up to me and ask, "So, if you're saying the Bible is not from God, do we no longer call it holy?" Well, Borg's answer would be that the Bible's status as sacred, as the Holy Bible, is the result of an historical process, not because of its divine origin. I mean, the documents that make up the Bible were not sacred when they were written. It was over time that they were declared to be sacred by ancient Israel and early Christianity. We call the Bible sacred scripture because of its status and its function, not its origin. As sacred scripture, it functions as our foundational document upon which Christianity is built. It is, well, it's our identity document in that it shapes who we are and what our life with God is about. And it is sacred because it concerns the two most central questions of life: what is real and how should we live? I wish it also concerned whether my Minnesota Vikings will ever win the Super Bowl, but it doesn't. To be Christian means to be in continuing conversation with the Bible as the foundational document of our identity and vision. That's why the Bible lies at the heart of Christianity. A clear vision of the Bible and its role in the Christian life requires seeing it both as sacred scripture and a human product. It is human in origin and sacred in status and function. Now, earlier, I said that Marcus Borg uses three adjectives to describe how he interprets the Bible: historical, metaphorical, and sacramental. An historical approach takes seriously that the Bible comes from the distant past and is not written for us, but for the people who lived then. It emphasizes the importance of historical context and helps us understand what these words meant for the communities that produced them. Imagine the power of the words of Isaiah when they were heard by despairing Jews in exile in Babylon. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices, together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. Knowing that members of Matthew's community were being subjected to persecution and death makes the words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel even more vivid because of what it meant to them. Congratulations to the poor in spirit. Heaven's domain belongs to them. Congratulations to those who grieve. They will be consoled. So the historical approach can probe what the words meant for the people who heard them and whether the reported event really happened. But much of the language of the Bible is not actual and literal, but metaphorical. By metaphorical, we mean the more than literal meaning of language. Using a metaphorical approach to the Bible acknowledges that the Bible contains both historical memory and metaphorical narrative. Some of the events of the Bible actually occurred, but when a text contains historical memory, it is the more than literal meaning that matters most. For example, the Babylonian exile really happened, but the way the story is told is larger than the literal. It is a metaphorical narrative of exile and return, abiding images of the human condition and its remedy. Much of the Bible may have little or no historical factuality behind the stories, but as metaphorical narratives, they can be profoundly true, even though not literally factual. Let me run that by you again. Events and stories in the Bible can be absolutely true, even if they never actually happened. In our modern world of science, we tend to identify truth with factuality. And so if something didn't literally happen, it can't be true. But the Bible tells metaphorical truths. Or as Thomas Mann said, a metaphorical narrative is a story about the way things never were, but always are. This is because a metaphorical narrative is telling a truth that is beyond the ability of literal language to convey. It's too big a truth for normal language to express it. I mean, you can't tell a 45-watt truth with 15-watt language. Metaphorical language is 45 watts. A great example of this is found in the birth stories of Jesus, told by the writers of Matthew and Luke's Gospels. If we see them as literal historical fact, it would require us to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, was really visited by three wise men, who were really led by a special star to Bethlehem, and that angels actually sang in the night sky, maybe backed by a tracker action pipe organ and a brass choir. But instead, what does a metaphorical reading yield? The story of Jesus being conceived by the Spirit of God affirms that what happened in Jesus was of God. The special star and the glory of the Lord filling the night sky is a way of saying that Jesus is the light of the world, the true light that enlightens every person. The wise men visiting affirms that Jesus is the light not only for Israel, but for everyone in the world. The story of the shepherds tells the truth that the gospel is especially good news for the poor and marginalized. And the song that the angels are singing declares that Jesus is Lord and not Caesar or Herod. And Joseph's vision that sends the family to Egypt suggests that Jesus is like a new Moses and that a new Exodus is about to happen. Neither Caesar, nor Herod, nor Pharaoh can destroy the bearer of God's liberating word. Look how astonishingly important these stories become when interpreted metaphorically. We're freed from having to believe in the factuality of the event and the miraculous element of the stories, which actually detract from the truth that is being told. Our question should not be, did this actually happen? Our question should be, what do these stories mean? And this statement applies to the stories of the Bible generally. A preoccupation with factuality obscures the metaphorical meanings and truth of the stories as metaphor. In the Easter stories, what level of truth are we dealing with if we ask, was the tomb really empty? Was the corpse transformed? Did the risen Jesus actually eat a fish? And when he appeared to his disciples, was he in bodily form so we could have, photographed him? These questions are literal, factual. And the truth of Easter will never be revealed by answering them. The metaphorical truth of the empty tomb is that you won't find Jesus in the land of the dead. The metaphorical truth of the empty tomb is that Jesus is not a figure of the past, but has been experienced in the present, and thus is one with God and therefore Lord. So the story of the empty tomb is really true, even though it may not be literally true. The story of the Emmaus Road is really true, even though it may not be literally true. Metaphorical language is a way of seeing a truth that is too big for the literal. We can view the entire Bible metaphorically, the Bible as a metaphor. Is a way of seeing ourselves, the divine-human relationship, and the divine-world relationship. The point is not to believe in a metaphor, but to see with it. The point is not to believe in the Bible, but to see our lives with God through it. And Marcus Borg also saw the Bible as a sacrament. A sacrament is a finite, physical, visible mediator of the sacred, a means whereby the sacred becomes present to us. A sacrament is a vehicle of the sacred. Sacraments are like bridges to the sacred, something finite, something of this world, that becomes a means by which the sacred is made present to us. The Eucharist functions this way, in that the human products of bread and wine become a means whereby the sacred becomes present to us. The Bible as sacrament means that this human product brings God's presence to us. The words of the Bible become a means whereby the Spirit speaks to us in the present. Not because the words come from God any more than the bread and wine came from God, but because a phrase or sentence will become the means for the Spirit to speak to us as individuals in the particularity of our lives. In the Anglican Book of Common Prayer in New Zealand, after the scripture reading, the lector says, "Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." Oh, that's perfect. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Notice how fundamentally different that is from the word of the Lord, which is the most common Episcopal response. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church means that the Bible functions sacramentally through speaking and hearing. We hear the Spirit speaking to us not with these words, but through these words. So the historical, metaphorical, and sacramental approach leads to an exciting new vision of the Bible and the Christian life. Rather than an emphasis on believing in the Bible, believing in the theological teachings derived from it, rather than believing in the infallibility and factual truth of the Bible and the creeds and central doctrines derived from this belief, the Bible is seen as metaphor and sacrament. And this function of the Bible can be extended to the Christian tradition as a whole. Not only the Bible, but the creeds, worship, rituals, practices, and doctrines can be seen as metaphor and sacrament. Within this framework, being Christian is not primarily about believing, in the modern sense of adopting certain propositions to be true. Instead, Borg's emphasis is on the relational meanings of faith and leads to a relational and transformational vision of the Christian life. To be Christian means a relationship with God, lived within the Christian tradition, including especially the Bible as a foundation of the tradition as both metaphor and sacrament. The Christian life is about a relationship with the one to whom the Bible points and mediates. A relationship with God through the Bible as metaphor and sacrament. To be Christian is to live within this tradition and let it do its transforming work among us. Now, if you find these ideas inspiring, I urge you to get a copy of Reading the Bible Again for the First Time. You won't find anything about the Minnesota Vikings in there either, but it is an astounding and important book. In our next podcast, we'll turn to how Marcus Borg shows us an intriguing new way of thinking about God. Please join me for our next podcast as we examine the God we never knew. Thank you.